Today on Real Radio.
It matters greatly that you know what you believe. And knowing what you believe in reality will change or affect your life completely.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 25 today, which records a parable that deals with the last days. The parable of the 10 virgins has lots of symbolism, as in the case of many parables. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series on the parable of the 10 virgins.
Matthew 25, ultimately we will cover verses 1 to 13 someday. We're talking about, of course, the parable of the 10 virgins. And it's a challenge for anybody teaching this, and here's the reason why. It's not that we don't understand it. You could click on to 10 of your favorite teaching pastors' websites and get 10 different teachings about this particular parable. And that doesn't mean anyone is doing an injustice to it. It just announces the depth of this particular parable and the meaning of it. And when I say that, I mean for us to really get into it in its original context, we would have to study the culture of the first century era. Some of the things still exist today in the Middle East regarding marriage and ceremonies and receptions that we'll see tonight and that we'll look at tonight and read through. But there's a lot of amazing unpacking of application that comes out of this particular parable. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins, 10 maidens, the word is also translated correctly, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they not only have oil in their lamps, they've got little a cruse or a skin full of oil. And so they're ready. And so verse 5 says, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Verse 12, but he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, verse 13 announces, and this is a thrust, by the way. Bible students, mark verse 13. This is the reason for the parable. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man or the bridegroom is coming. It's all about being ready. That's the thrust of the parable. It's not about weddings and preparing for weddings. Technically, as we'll see tonight, it's not even about oil, though we will talk a lot about oil tonight and what it means. It's about being ready. If you're a careful listener, and if you're kind of putting on your CSI mindset for a moment, that your Christian, spiritual investigation abilities, again, it's not about the oil, but being ready, but you'll see how what is symbolized by the oil prepares you or is in fact the source of you being ready. It's very interesting. And so as we look at this, I want you guys to lean a little bit back upon last week together and tonight. So mark this down, verses 1 through 5. We know this. that the parable of the 10 virgins is about, number one, knowing what you believe. Church, listen, did the virgins, all 10 of them, know that they were involved in a celebration soon to happen? The answer to that is yes. Did they know that they were to have lamps? The answer of that is yes. Did they know that they were supposed to have oil? Yes. Did they know that they were supposed to be ready? The answer is yes. So what went wrong? It matters greatly that you know what you believe. And knowing what you believe in reality will change or affect your life completely. Do you know what you believe? And so in verse 1, we read here that the kingdom of heaven is likened. So Jesus is saying this is what the church age from the day of Pentecost to the end of the church age, which, by the way, Pentecost began with the descent, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the church was born, and the church will be delivered into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when he, in a sense, remember, he came down to give birth to the church, and the Holy Spirit, the same player, the same worker, will deposit, or I should say, hand over the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from that moment on, the Holy Spirit will do a special work in the earth. In the Bible, the book of Joel, for example, and Peter, 1 Peter talks about all that stuff. But the kingdom of heaven is the church age. And Jesus likens it to 10 virgins. He didn't say that they're believers. He didn't say that they're all born again. He says that they're 10 maidens, and they know something. They know that the Lord is coming back in this picture portrayed as the bridegroom. They know that there's certain things expected of them. But just because they know it, it doesn't mean that they are actually, or all of them are actually saved. And this is a serious thing that you need to understand regarding this parable. Not all 10 are saved. But the parable is not about salvation. The parable is about being ready. By the way, listen, every Christian that is ready will be a Christian who's saved. Everyone who's saved will be a true Christian. They'll be ready. You don't have to worry about being a Christian and not being ready. The Holy Spirit will make you ready as you yield to him. And that's a very, very important thing. So the whole of this parable is about, write it down if you would, expectancy. Expectancy, write that down. And again, verse 13 is the entire purpose for the parable. Watch therefore. That's what Jesus is getting at, watch. The word in Greek is intense word. It means to be wide-eyed, scanning the horizon, looking. Can I use this word? It's a word you don't hear anymore. It's to prowl the horizon. You are vigilant. That's another word we don't hear anymore. It's a great word, vigilant. What are you doing? I'm looking. Oh, come on, don't be so serious. No, I'm looking. But what does that looking mean? Does it mean you walk around, you know, in a white robe? You don't go to work because Jesus could come back? You know, you're just a bum because Jesus could come back? No, that's not what it means. It means that as you're living life, notice here, it mentions that they were sleeping. That's not a sin to be sleeping in this parable. It means that they were living life. You got to go to work. You got to go to bed. In this case, they were invited to a wedding. And in that culture, a bunch of people, listen, this is kind of cool. I actually love this. Are you listening? We do it all wrong here in the West. In those days, and in fact, there's a couple that attend this church. They actually did this. This is radical. The announcement is made, I'm going to get married. Joseph and Mary, for example, we're going to get married. They set a date. It's at least a year away from their engagement. And it's well known. But listen, there's a time as they approach, there's things that are getting ready. By the way, while the bridegroom is away, he is preparing a house for his new wife. Sound familiar? You know a carpenter who went away to prepare a house for you. And he's going to come back and pick you up. What's that all about? It's exactly what that culture completely understood. It makes perfect sense to them. Jesus is engaged to the church, those who believe in him, trust him. And he went away to prepare a place. And when he comes back, he's going to take his bride, the church, with him where he's at. You can read more about that, by the way, in Isaiah chapter 26. A tremendous comment about that. But it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. But about a week before the wedding takes place, check this out. You are summoned to the gathering. The groom and the bride-to-be, they're going to have their service, but the community comes to the reception. The service is a little bit more private. When that happens, the announcement is made. This parable parallels that perfectly. What you don't see here, but it is implied because it's understood by the culture, that when the bridegroom comes, what's not mentioned, but it's understood, is that the bridegroom is coming, but also with his wife, his honey, his sweetheart. And so from this understanding, some people have taken this parable to say, well, this must be something that happens at the second coming of Christ, because the bride of Christ comes with Christ in the second coming, Revelation 19. It could, but when Jesus says, watch therefore, because you don't know when it's going to happen. Now that brings us right back to the pre-rapture concept, because the second coming, according to the book of, am I confusing you? The second coming, according to the book of Daniel, is a day that is actually known in that time period. So it's very interesting. The first coming of Jesus Christ was known in the book of Daniel. It announced it. And the second coming of Christ to Israel, we looked at that last week, will be known to that generation based upon, again, the book of Daniel. What is not known is the hour in which your Lord comes. And that is a reference to what is called expectancy or the doctrine of imminency. Imminency is the Lord could come for his people at any given moment. It's exactly, remember last week we studied in detail the we statements of Paul. Remember, Paul was believing that in his life, Jesus was going to come back. And he made mention of that clearly. It wasn't until he was told that he was going to be executed in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that he says that he has loved the Lord's coming, the Lord's return. Very awesome, very exciting. Now remember, the doctrine of imminency, of expectancy is, for example, found in Titus 2:13, that we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. By the way, that's all good news. The blessed hope and glorious appearing. The second coming is what is the Bible says is a great and terrible day of the Lord. The second coming is very, very violent for the earth and very destructive. The rapture is altogether joyous and a blessed thing. While we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then remember last time, the expectancy or the expectation of Christ's return. Jesus is the one who actually introduced it in John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, if that's not true, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's not a Greek scholar in the universe that would say, well, that's Jesus picking you up in the atmosphere and bringing you back down to earth. That's impossible. There's not a Greek scholar that will stand behind that. All scholars understand that the context demands this understanding. Jesus left earth and he went to his Father's house. He's preparing a place. He's going to come and get those of John 14, 1, 2, and 3 and take them to where he's been, where he's at. That is awesome. If you don't believe in what is known as the premillennial, pre-tribulation rapture, then you got to cut John 14 right out of your Bible. You got to take it out. So watch this. The parable tonight, as we look at this, is a parable about being watchful. But I want to focus tonight on the source of being watchful. Okay? I want to take a totally different approach. Not that I want to be different. It's just that all the stuff I've read and all the stuff I've looked at, not one of the teachers covered the source of how you're ready. The source of being ready. How can I be ready? Look, we're humans. We're mere humans. And as a Christian, I need all the help I can get. Amen? So how can I be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? What makes me able to have the impossible happen in my life? It's not you and it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. And we're going to talk about what that means. So will you look with me, verses 2-5? We're still on that one point, know what you believe. It's this. When he announces there, verse 2, that five of them were wise, you ought to circle that. Now, five of them were wise. You ought to circle that, okay? And five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and, or but, took no oil with them. Now, verse 4, you ought to circle verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels or skins with their lamps. Verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They lived their lives, and the bridegroom did not return as quickly as they had hoped. Meaning, they were to be, listen everybody, efficient. They were to be governing their time. Even though they were invited, watch, like that couple I'm going to tell you about, they all gathered for the reception. They're waiting. And this guy, you know, he didn't do 7 days, but he called all of his friends, okay, and for 3 days, they didn't know when he was going to come during those 3 days. This happened. A guy from this church did this. And in this case, in the Bible case, you're waiting there for a week. And he could come the first day. He could come the third day. He could come the second day. He could come. You got to be ready. But look, once he comes, then the reception lasts 7 days. Isn't that neat? That is really cool. And so, waiting is part of the thing, but you don't know if he's going to come the first day or the third day or the seventh day. So you are to conduct, listen, you're to conduct yourselves wisely, knowing it could take a while. How about for us? It could take 2,000 years. How about for us right now? We're seeing all these things going on in the globe around us. What does that mean to us? It could be soon. We hope it's soon, but it could be soon. Know what you believe. And I wonder, listen, as we get into this, what comes to your mind when you hear words like this? Authentic. Authentic means real. Organic. That means pure. Okay? What about fundamental? That means basic, foundational. Original means first. The important thing about these words is when you look at the Bible and you read the Bible, let the Bible speak to you for what it says. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, friends and foes, listen, when you read the Bible, don't try to tell it what it should tell you. You need to approach the Bible and let it speak to you. It's alive. The Holy Spirit will see to that. So as we look to this parable, and tonight we want to focus on what source is it that makes us ready, it's symbolized in this parable by the oil. The oil. Now, the Holy Spirit has been symbolized or displayed typologically throughout Scripture as being oil. There's the anointing oil of the Old Testament, which symbolized the Holy Spirit. Remember when the kings of Israel were anointed kings, what happened? The priest came and poured oil on the top of his head all the way down to his feet. I mean, he was covered in oil. When we anoint people today with oil, again, we are unscriptural because we don't want to destroy their clothing. But we dab a little oil on somebody. I'm sure the Lord doesn't care about the volume of oil. It's all about the faith regarding what's going on. But to be anointed with oil, you've read it in the Bible. Did you anoint him or her with oil? And that's great. You're to do that. But listen, in the old days, it was not only poured out upon them and it covered them, but it was so meaningful. It signified their position. It signified the Lord's presence, that's the covering, the oil upon him, that this man or this woman or this temple utensils were dedicated to God. It spoke of God's absolute possession of this person and sanctification to God's use. And so with that, it's organic and it's authentic and it's fundamental and it's original. That oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testament alike. In Exodus chapter 30, the Bible tells us, verse 31, and you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me, says God, throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it, By the way, when he says poured on men's flesh, poured upon those who are unclean or not appointed. According to its, look, he says, don't make another one like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, a mimic, a knockoff, a false representation, or whoever puts any on it on an outsider shall be cut off from his people or from the nation Israel. This is serious business. God says, you try to do a knockoff of the anointing oil that I've prescribed, and it's going to cost you your life. It's so serious to God. It's taking ministry and making it false. It speaks of false teaching. It speaks of false priesthood. It speaks of a false prophet. It speaks of a fake, false ministry. One that looks real, but God knows that's not the right oil. That's fake. People may not be able to discern it because very crafty people make up that false anointing oil. And people will mimic what the Holy Spirit really does. They'll mimic it. You know what's terrifying about that? Are you ready for this? You guys, remember when Moses confronted Pharaoh's magicians and soothsayers? Those guys did everything Moses did. And God wasn't in their miracles. You need to be ready for these days. The Bible tells us in the last days, many people are going to be deceived because there will be those coming with a slightly different gospel message, mind you. But they can do signs and wonders. And if your child is blind and you just heard that some guy out in the park is preaching some message and it's a little bit off from the Bible, but your child is blind and you just heard that he opened the eyes of some blind kid. Don't tell me you're not going to be tempted to take your child over there and compromise doctrine so that your child could see. Could you imagine? A demonic power can do those things. In the last days, during the tribulation period, there's going to be false demonic miracles. So listen, we want to ask this question. I was thinking, why would these virgins, five of them, why would someone take a lamp without taking spear oil? What is Jesus telling us here? What's he warning us about? They've got lamps, but they're foolish. And I wrote these things down. If they mean something to you, then great. Maybe number one, they're hoping to get filled up later on. That's what they asked the other five girls. Hey, help us. Maybe they were leaning upon the provision of others rather than looking to God. Number two, hoping that they might be able to get some stuff, you know, from other people. Not only get it filled up later, number one, but number two, just leaning upon others. Number three, hoping to blend in among those who have the oil to not be detected. We'll just get in a big crowd. We'll just hang out in a big church. We'll just hide in a big church. It's easy to hide in a big church.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Ten Virgins. It's actually a mini-series taken from Matthew chapter 25, The Parable of the Ten Virgins, part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, the church is experiencing a storm right now. There is decreasing attendance, watered-down messages, pastor burnout. Well, we have a book that comes highly recommended by Pastor Jack. It's simply called Storm by Jim Cimbala. Cimbala tackles the problem not with despair, but with hope. With inspiring stories of changed lives and growing churches, he draws listeners back to prayer, offers ways to lead them with love, and reminds listeners why the message of grace matters more than political trappings. He also explores the atmosphere of the early church, which flourished despite far worse conditions than Christians in the West face today. This is Pastor Jack's pick for our book of the month, Storm, subtitled Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. Go online and read the reviews. Storm by Jim Cimbala is available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.